Good evening, ladies and gents. Tonight is August 27th, 2019. And today I just wanted to do a little short recap on last week's podcast, and then I'm going to move forward. Last week's podcast was about the four D's of a medical malpractice lawsuit or medical malpractice or medical negligence. You need four D's in order to constitute a lawsuit. You have to have the duty, which is the doctor-patient relationship. The doctor is expected to follow certain rules and meet certain expectations of competence, okay? Dereliction, if there's no dereliction, the doctor has violated the duty or trust outlined, all right? The doctor may go beyond the defined scope of work. He was supposed to remove an appendix, but while he was in surgery, he took out the gallbladder. That's over and beyond his scope of duty. That's over and beyond his skill set, his skill level. Okay. The doctor may do something wrong by accident, such as amputating the wrong foot, which is rare in some cases, but it does happen. And that's considered dereliction, or he may even do something else intentionally wrong, okay? Mistaken diagnosis could fall under that. Giving wrong medications can fall under that. So that's two D's of the four D's. The third one is direct causation. If there is the dereliction of duty, did it directly cause the negative outcome that has a patient considering whether to file a lawsuit? Was something done to the patient that led to his death or led to his amputation or led to his excessive blood loss that was done by the doctor or other medical professionals? And the last four again was damages. What kind of physical or what kind of emotional harm did the patient suffer from the neglect of the doctor or the medical professional? All right, so I just want you to keep those four in mind before I go on to anything else about medical negligence or medical malpractice, because a lot of times people will have two of the four, they will have one of the four, or they may have three of the four D's, and that is not enough to get you a medical malpractice lawsuit, okay? You have to have all four D's. I just want to make that clear, okay, before I go on. And I want people to challenge me. I want people to question me on social media or even on this podcast. You can sign up for Anchor, of course, and then you can leave messages and we can do two-way conversations back and forth. I would love it because I'm very interested in everybody's story, because everybody brings a little bit of something to the table when it comes to medical negligence. And it's amazing how many people have suffered, passed away, or are suffering now with PTSD or other kind of mental health issues, being afraid to trust any doctors now because of what happened to you in the past or what happened to your loved one in the past, and just being very leery now when you go to medical appointments because you're thinking of the bad event that happened to you. All right, today I'm just going to go over a couple of types of medical malpractice. First, we have misdiagnosis, when, of course, a patient is misdiagnosed. The doctor examines and says that you have one illness, but in fact, you have another. That can be some terms for a malpractice, because it will prevent a patient from receiving the correct treatment that is needed because of that misdiagnosis. Delayed diagnosis is very similar, is when the doctor makes the incorrect diagnosis at first, but then does try to correct the diagnosis to the accurate diagnosis, because now you've lost some time. And depending on how long it takes before they realize what they diagnosed you with, it can be some time loss that could have helped to save your life or save your limb or save your sight or save your hearing. So that could be grounds for medical malpractice. Failure to treat. Sometimes the doctor might say that you have a certain illness, but fails to recommend the adequate treatment. And this is called failure to treat. So I just wanted to kind of briefly go over a couple of those just so that you'll know what constitute a doctor's wrongdoing. Another one would be surgical errors, using an incorrect procedure, performing unnecessary surgery, damaging your nerves or your organs or tissues during surgery. Those would be some examples of a surgical error. Birth injuries. They really are the worst type, of course, because no one wants their newborn to come into the world with any kind of illness or deformity, if at all possible. That's supposed to be the most joyful time of your life, really, when you give birth to your baby. But it can happen in many forms. It can happen with prenatal care. It can happen during childbirth. It can happen leading to childbirth from injuries to the mom or to the baby. And the last one that I'm going to talk about is medical product liability. Sometimes you're given a device that maybe you do or do not need, and the device really performs poorly. That can be used as a medical product liability. Some examples would be the IVC filters that I'm sure you guys have seen commercials. I know in my state, they run a bunch of commercials during the day on IVC filters. They're supposed to prevent the blood clots from breaking off and traveling into your bloodstream. But sometimes a patient's condition is worsened because the device doesn't even work. It doesn't provide the promised benefits that it's supposed to. So right now, that is a very, very big liability and a form of medical malpractice. Okay, so for me, that is basically all I'm going to talk about tonight. As promised, I wanted to keep these podcasts short and kind of light and on the fun side. I don't want to give too much information overload so that people fall asleep. But I just want to give you some information and give you some things to think of, because for some, it's too late to do any of this, right? Because you've already exceeded your statute of limitations, and you would have to find out from an attorney in your area what your statute of limitations is. In some states, it's 2 years, and some states, it's 3. And I've recently learned that one state has 1 year to complete contacting an attorney after the injury to try to see if it's considered medical malpractice. So as I said before, just try to keep some of these things in mind. And remember, when you or a family member are having planned surgeries, to try to always come prepared with a notebook and pen or pencil to try to take notes, document everything you can from that first surgical appointment up until the person is finally healed and back on their feet. Because when it is time for you to recall this information, there is no way in God's creation that you're going to remember all of the stuff that's thrown at you, because a lot of doctors don't have a lot of time, so they're speaking very quickly and you can't really understand. But you need to make them slow down so that you can understand what they're talking about, and you need to take notes. You need to understand what is going to be done to you. What are the risks of the surgeries or surgeries that are going to be done to you, or medical procedures that's going to be done to you? And if you have so much on your mind, sometimes when you're getting ready to go through a surgery, you can't think straight. Always have a friend or another family member to go with you to your doctor's appointments so that they can be your eyes and ears, because sometimes another person can hear or see things that you don't. And if you need it a couple of years later, it's going to be to your benefit. Now, I hope these podcasts are informative. I hope they're helping people. And I hope that people who are just recently injured are able to take some of this information and contact an attorney to see if they qualify for malpractice. Because in a lot of instances, from the people that I've been meeting in different support groups, people are injured permanently and people have lost their homes, people have lost their jobs, people have lost their spouses over medical negligence, because some people are so ruined mentally that they can't even function, so nobody really want to be around them. So they lose a lot of things. They lose their job. They lose their spouse. You know, without a job, you can't pay your mortgage. You lose your home. And unfortunately, the doctor is still practicing, still making money, while you have nothing. You have nothing. And you have no recourse, because after your medical malpractice, especially if you do not win any judgment, you're back to square one, and it's like no one heard you, no one cared. I don't know if people try to contact their local newspaper, their local media, as far as the television news, because a lot of times they don't want to deal with those type of stories, because the insurance that govern over the doctors have such a large presence that nobody really want to go up against them. So if you win or you lose a case, they still don't like to run a story. They just don't. But I'm encouraging you to still try. I'm not discouraging anybody, but I would love, love, love to hear some feedback from you all. I love it. I've been getting some things on a couple of social media with people asking me different questions, but I would love for you to download this app and come on and talk live so that we can talk against each other. But for now, I have gone over my limit. I know I promised. I try to do these in 10 minutes or less, but I'm at 11 minutes and 45 seconds. So I'm going to come to an end. And it has been my pleasure giving you these short tidbits of information. As time goes on, I will have a lot more information, and hopefully I will be able to get some guests on the show with me. I would really love that. And until next Tuesday, everyone, please have a safe and a blessed week. I look forward to hearing from you.